see. Our next guest on Downtown, longtime film critic with the Boston Globe. He's the author of a number of books, including Gods Like Us. He has ventured out on his own with a brand new subscription service called Ty Burr's Watchlist. We are pleased to be joined once again by our friend Ty Burr. Hello there, Ty. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Rich. Nice to be here.
I want to first ask about how your time was in Maine.
It was lovely and nostalgic. I visited my daughter, who is closing up with a summer camp I went to 50 years ago with her partner. And then we went out to an island off the coast of Maine, where I spent a summer restoring an old building. So it was a nice trip back to memories of long ago. The wonderful thing about Maine is that everything remains the same.
I loved your piece, and especially since I'm also a big fan of Moonrise Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun to write about it, and it's fun to be able to sort of push the envelope and see if I can write about personal stuff as well as the movies.
Now, having read that and knowing about your childhood experiences there, you'll be happy to know that Phil Proctor and David Osman from Firesign Theater are great friends of our show and have been on a couple of times each.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm very cheered to hear that.
Well, let's talk about this new venture of yours after many years with the Boston Globe. Now, doing your own thing, Ty Burr's Watchlist on Substack. What led to that big move for you?
Well, a number of things. I'd been at the Globe for 19 years, sitting in the same chair for a long time. Felt it was time to get up and stretch and maybe see some, sit in a different chair or chairs. I had a frustration. It wasn't so much with the Globe as it was with the way mainstream news media, movies and magazines cover movies, which is not the way we're watching them these days. They're still putting all of the attention on the movie, the theatrical premiere. More and more people are, which is not to say that there's, watching a movie on a big screen is still the best way to see a movie. But the reality is many of us increasingly are seeing movies at home. Along with the TV series, and the pandemic only exacerbated that. So I found myself writing reviews for movies, and then my readers wouldn't really be coming to those movies until a month or two later, at which point the review was no longer in front of them. So there was a disjunct there. And what I'm trying to do with Piper's Watchlist, my Substack newsletter, is sort of bring those things into sync. I'm still writing about theatrical films, at one point in a week, but I'm also primarily focusing on movies as they come to the many streaming platforms that we all subscribe to: Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, Criterion Channel, all the different places. So, and it's also giving me sort of a freedom to write about other things as well. Kind of go where I want to as a writer, the main piece I posted yesterday, and see if that works. And so far, people seem to be coming along.
Well, I love it, and it's great to hear about the new films, but you're such a film historian, so it's wonderful when you make recommendations for people to check out some classic films, some overlooked films that they might have missed. And those personal reminiscences are all great and all usually tied in to significant films in your life.
Right. Right. I mean, one of the fun things about this for me is that I get to go into the nostalgia bin for not just me, but people in my generation and the surrounding generations. One of the first pieces that I posted on the watch list was an appreciation of Walter Matthau, and pegged to the, this great movie that came out in 1974, The Taking of Pelham 123, which, I saw in downtown Boston as a kid. And I watched it again recently, and it just holds up perfectly, and he is wonderful in it. And the next day I can write about, a classic horror movie from 1946, The Seventh Victim. The whole point of this is to help people, to recommend movies to people when they're looking at their streaming, menu, and everything blurs into, one blur, and they can't find a movie. The whole point of this is, here's something you can watch. Could be new, could be old, could be something that, pushes your nostalgia button. But that's the fun of it for me. And the gratification is you know, getting the feedback from people who are saying, yeah, I watched this thing and I didn't know it was there and it was great. Thank you.
We're talking with Ty Burr here on Downtown. Is our generation, Ty, the last one that will explore films of the past with the same passion that a lot of us have?
I don't think so, honestly. You know, ironically, the past is more easily accessible than it ever has been. You know, you used to have to, you know, years ago, you used to have to wait until it came to the late show on TV. Mm. Then came VHS, then came DVD. But now you turn on your TV and, you know, you go to Amazon and you can find not every movie, but just about. And, but ironically, that, you know, it makes it harder to find them because there's such a wealth of material there. But on the other hand, you know, I've got two daughters. They are both into old movies, and for them, old movies are, you know, movies from the 80s and the 70s. And, you know, but they've seen the classics. They've seen The Godfather, they, you know, and not just them, you know, because their father's a movie critic, but their peers. You know, they've all seen Jaws. They all, you know, they know what the classics are, and a handful of them will go spelunk further into the cave of movie delights into the past.
I followed up on your recommendation and checked out Come From Away last night. Now, I'm a sucker for Broadway musicals, but I found myself so moved by the simplicity of the set and then the incredible talents of those cast members, 12 people who made about 60 or 70 characters come to life.
I know. Just amazing how much they do with so little and how much they suggest all the places in the town, all the places on the airplane, just through choreography and movement. And yeah, it's quite a remarkable show.
I saw
this is the kind of thing that I would have done at the Globe because it's a play.
Now, I saw you recommend Worth on Netflix. I have not seen that yet. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Worth stars Michael Keaton, who's always a pleasure, as the lawyer who's put in charge of the 9/11 victims fund to basically allocate monies for the survivors of everybody who died in the World Trade Center attacks. And the point of the film is, the point of the drama is, how do you put a number on a person's life? And the character, the Keaton character, starts out in an actuarial frame of mind, you know, running data sets and he's quickly abused, disabused of that by a number of survivors, including Stanley Tucci, who plays the sort of the head of a victims group, and comes to see the humanity of the numbers that he's been looking at. It's a very interesting film. It's based on the actual character's memoir. And as always, you know, Michael Keaton makes it a really compelling watch.
What are some films, a couple of them perhaps, that you're looking forward to that will be released in the fall or in time for awards season?
One of the things I've seen is, that's funny, whenever anybody asks me about what movies are coming down the pike, my mind goes blank. But I have been watching some of the movies at the Toronto Film Festival, and I've seen a movie called Bergman Island with Tim Roth, and the actress from Phantom Thread, that's really quite wonderful. I have seen, just saw the new Clint Eastwood movie called Cry Macho, which I don't think is going to be in the Oscar race, but it's a lovely elegiac valedictory for Clint Eastwood as an actor. You know, I didn't think he was going to be in a movie again, but yes, in fact, he is. I'm looking forward to Dune. And again, I personally don't want to be in a crowded theater at this particular point in time.
Right.
Nevertheless, this is a movie that calls out for a large screen. So, you know, maybe I'll go to an early show at 10 o'clock and, you know, sit in a corner. There are, and Hollywood's in a weird place where it wants to bring people back to the movie theaters, but is that actually responsible? And, you know, of course, everybody has to make their own decision. But I'm more comfortable at this particular point watching things at home.
I loved your book on the history of celebrity, and I'm curious, Ty, who do you think is our biggest film star these days? Do we have movie stars in the same way we did a generation or so ago?
Much fewer. because the mainstream movie industry has given themselves over to intellectual property, franchises, the Avengers, superheroes, you know, all those sequels and remakes and reboots. That's what sells tickets, not stars. Nevertheless, I would say, yeah, of course there are stars. Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, I teach a version of that book to college students at BU, and one of the first things I ask them is, you know, who are the stars for you? Who are the big stars for you? And they all say Leonardo DiCaprio. They all say Scarlett Johansson. They still have the, you know, charisma of old school movie stars, you know, that we grew up with and generations before. But they also cite, you know, music stars, rap stars, TV stars. And, you know, so it's almost like the universe of stardom has sort of pushed out, you know, and God forbid, into the, you know, TikTok generation and influencer category. But I still think that movie stars are sort of the reigning gods of the universe, of that universe, in that they're kind of at the top of the mountain. So yeah, DiCaprio, Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hanks, of course, you know, even for, you know, he's our generation star, but all of my kids know him and love him. I mean, all of my kids' friends. So I'll be curious to see if that changes as people start watching more at home and less on the big screen. And of course, you know, we're going to see how that rolls out in the, you know, coming 5, 10, 15 years. The content companies, the studios, they're putting all of their bets on their various streaming platforms, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus, HBO Max, which is Warner Brothers. They all have one, and they're all, some of them are releasing their theatrical movies at the same time on HBO, you know, on their streaming platforms. HBO, Warner Brothers is putting Dune on HBO Max the same day it comes to theaters. Is that crazy, or is that, you know, putting your chips on a smart bet? It remains to be seen.
I have a friend who's a big John Sayles fan, and he was saying in this day and age, he thinks it's a lot harder for independent films to be made with the focus on blockbusters and franchises. But I don't know. I wonder if all of the streaming services out there in some ways might provide more platforms. Is it tougher for independent artists to get those films produced these days?
You know, in an odd way, it is easier, and you put your finger on it. You know, it's evolved into separate pipelines for mainstream movies and independent films, which, you know, if they're lucky, go to a big festival like Toronto or Sundance and make an impression there, get picked up by a distributor, and traditionally went to a movie theater, and then, you know, eventually to cable. But these days, one of the distributors is Amazon, and another one is Netflix, and they're going on spending sprees, and they're buying up movies that would have played in theaters and treating them as Netflix originals and Amazon originals. In the process, they're bankrolling filmmakers, independent filmmakers, and they're taking risks because they want to win Oscars. It gives them credibility, and it gets some subscribers, which is really, you know, for them, that's the bottom line. A lot of the directors who, you know, were making independent films 5, 10, 15 years ago, they're working on series. TV series, you know, some of the streaming series that we're watching that are extremely well done. So, you know, we're seeing sort of a blur between feature films and TV series as far as where the creative folks are going. And it's no longer, obviously no longer a step down to go from movies to TV. On the other hand, you know, on the contrary, it's work, and often creatively rewarding work.
Well, I tell you, I absolutely love so far Tyber's watch list. You can subscribe. It's pretty easy to do. Go to Substack or just type in tyberswatchlist.substack.com. It's a inexpensive investment that will pay off with a wealth of information and love of films. Ty, always enjoy your work and happy to find it right in my inbox 3 times a week.
Yeah, and I should point out it is free. I mean, you can pay if you want and you get a little extra comment, a little extra content and the ability to join in the conversations, but it's there for free if you want it. You know, it's a new model that's actually working out.
Well, we wish you great success with it and always enjoy talking with you here on the program. Thanks so much for making time for us today.
Thank you, Rich. Really appreciate it.
Ty Burr. And again, to check it out on Substack, Ty Burr's Watch List. Great stuff. Movies and more.